It's not going to be a major consumer hit, but it is going to be a path-breaking device. It's going to do things that no other device has been able to do, and it's going to attract developers to the device and also to the platform, the VisionOS platform that Apple has.
Hey gang, it's Monday, January 8th. Yuri, Garjo, Jacob, and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by three people. Let's meet them. We start with our principal analyst who heads up our technology, advertising, and media desk based in New Jersey. It's Yuri Wormser.
Hey, Marcus.
Hey there, fella. We're also joined by one of our senior analysts on our connectivity and tech briefing based in New York City. It's Garjo Sevilla.
Hi, Marcus. Happy to be here.
Hello, sir. And finally, we have one of our analysts on that same connectivity and tech briefing based in California. It's Jacob Bourne.
Hey, Marcus. Thanks for having me.
Hey, chap. So, gents, today's fact, I brought three. I don't know why. This segment's already long, but let's see if we can get through them. Some unknown facts about the Statue of Liberty, originally called Liberty Enlightening the World. That's not one of them, but it's cool. Number one, she was once a lighthouse. According to the U.S. Coast Guard, about a month after the statue's 1886 dedication, it became a working lighthouse for 16 years, with its torch visible from 24 miles away. Number two, the seven rays in the crown, basically the spikes, represent the Earth's seven seas. And finally, creator and sculptor Frederic Auguste Bartholdi used his mother as the model. Do you guys know any of that? You're probably like, yeah, Marcus.
The lighthouse makes a lot of sense. It starts with something practical, you know?
Okay. Have we been?
I was in the Statue of Liberty before it was renovated.
Okay.
35 years ago. So a long time ago.
She's smaller than I was expecting.
Yeah.
No, just saying. It's cool to look at, but you have to squint for most of the time. Anyway, today's real topic, the great Behind the Numbers takeoff, Bake Off play, Tech Trends 2024. In this episode, First in the Lead, we'll cover tech trends for 2024, Bake Off style. No other news today, so let's get on with it. This is the great Behind the Numbers takeoff, Tech Trends 2024. In today's episode, our takers, or bakers, will be cooking up some technology-related expectations for the coming new year that we're currently in. Three rounds, we have the signature take, we have round two, which is how it will technically play out challenge, and then round three is the show-stopping arguments. So, what tech trends are our panel predicting in 2024 in the realm of technology? Let's meet the contestants' predictions. We start with Garjo.
Yeah, so for 2024, I think on-device generative AI features in PCs and smartphones, even wearables, are going to be a huge, highly marketed selling point for adoption of these devices.
Okay. Jacob?
Yeah, my trend kind of builds on Garjo's. In addition to that on-device AI, what you're going to have is a proliferation of AI-generated content on the internet. And so we're going to have a big generative AI year. But there's something else happening in 2024 as well, and that's it's going to be a big election year. About 2 billion people will vote in 50 countries. And what that means is there's going to be a high risk of misinformation due to generative AI, and it's going to really test the trust of the system.
Yuri.
So I'm also talking about generative AI a little bit, but much more tangentially. And my idea is that immersive media, so augmented reality, mixed reality, and virtual reality will take a qualitative leap this year.
Okay. All right, gents, let's move to round one. It's signature take. Our chefs will have 1 minute to explain the premise of their trends. Let's go back to Garjo. 1 minute on the clock for you, sir. Give us a kind of summary of what your trend is all about.
Okay, so since the pandemic, a number of areas in tech, namely PCs and smartphones, have been sort of flagging in sales. There haven't been too many features that have been deemed compelling enough. But I think on-device AI computation, thanks to the neural chips that are going to be available this year, is going to help boost sales and adoption. And these will be for premium devices, and hoping that their AI-enabled PCs, devices, wearables, smartphones, gain ground this year.
Okay. And is that going to be, you know, phones, PCs being sold as, hey, get this device and here's, it's going to come with an AI chip and everything's going to be faster? Or does it come with a specific use case attached to that AI chip, do you think?
I think the biggest use case would be on-device security. So you don't need to tap into the cloud. That's great for enterprise. It's great for privacy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these companies are going to be baking in, you know, a number of...
I see what you've done.
Yeah, well, you got to put it in there. So they're going to be...
Points for that.
They're going to be baking in functionality that, you know, uses this technology.
Okay. Jacob, your turn, sir.
Yeah, so... As we know, 2023 was a huge year for generative AI. And so I think 2024, it's likely shaping up to be a similar big year for the technology. And of course, one of the things about it is that it's becoming more and more advanced, which means it's harder to distinguish between human-generated content and AI-generated content, harder to distinguish between accurate, real content and things that are made up, fictitious or malicious. And so... it's almost a given that bad actors are going to exploit the technology to spread misinformation. And of course, like the timing of so many elections globally, it makes it, it's almost inevitable, really, that this is going to be the outcome. So the question is, what's going to be done about it is the big question. And I think the answer to that is just there will be steps taken, but it probably will not be enough.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned the elections happening around a billion voters. Heading to the polls in
2020. 2 billion.
Oh, it's closer to 2 billion.
It's
wow.
2 billion, yes.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah, because you've got...
including the US, of course.
50. Okay. So, I guess you throw India in there and it gets to 1.4 immediately. Yeah, no, you're right. Then European Union, there's some in there. The UK, Indonesia, Russia, the US as well. So yeah, the significance, the gravity of it magnifies.
Yeah, and apparently it's the biggest election year, I think, in decades. So
in terms of, oh, total people voting?
Total
or voter
people voting,
in,
yeah,
individual?
And in the country. So, the timing, you have this technology that can really... disrupt the election potentially.
Yeah.
And with so many elections, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to be a pivotal year for sure.
Yeah. All right. Very nice. Yuri, your statement for your signature take.
So my trend is immersive media is going to take a qualitative leap. The idea here is that there's a lot of hype around the metaverse. It fizzled. I mean, the hype was overstated. Part of that, I think, had to do with the state of VR headsets and AR. But even so, about 90 million people use AR in the US, 70 million just on social media on their smartphones, and an additional 70 million use VR, virtual reality. So it's already pretty heavily used, but a bunch of devices coming out this year and some technologies around AI, I think are going to lead to some significant improvements in AR and VR, and will lead to a lot more interesting use cases.
And we'll get into it a bit more in a second, but when you say 70 million using VR, we're talking about VR that could be like 360, right? Headsets, the numbers are a lot lower.
Yeah, I think I don't have the number directly in front of me, but I think it's about half use it on dedicated headsets.
You're spot
and
on.
The other half are 360s.
Yeah, I was checking the numbers earlier. It's about 11% of the American population. So yeah, about 35, 36 million classified as VR headset users in 2024. So there's that distinction there. But as you mentioned, this is immersive media, so it encompasses a lot of different technologies. But you're saying that AR will likely still lead the charge with some VR driving it as well for 2024?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, AR is, because it's on our phones, it's just has mass adoption already.
Yep, yep. Very nice, gents. Some great signature takes for round one. Let's move to round two, the How Will It Technically Play Out challenge, where our chefs will explain in more detail how they expect the trend to manifest. So let's go back to Garjo. He's talking about on-device AI features boosting flagging PC and smartphone sales in 2024 by making premium devices more desirable. So Garjo, talk to us a bit about how you see this all playing out over the year.
So early in the year, we're going to see a lot of product launches. Samsung is launching their Galaxy S24 on January 17, and that's supposedly going to have a lot of on-device AI capability. At CES, I'm sure we'll see, you know, HP, Lenovo, Dell, you know, everybody sort of lean into this, especially for the high end of their product lines. So, I mean, for regular consumers, it may not be, you know, that compelling considering, you know, you can get your AI fix on a web browser. But, you know, having, you know, a secure personal device that, you know, can quickly run very specific types of generative AI applications, I think that would be a big selling point, at least to a certain segment of the market.
Mm-hmm.
the context for that is just that, you know, smartphone sales globally have been fairly flat the last few years. Yes. So they're looking for this new innovation to really boost the market. Mm-hmm. And that's been most of the growth in recent years has been coming from these premium devices. And this is, I think, a really killer premium feature if they can do it.
They can do, yeah.
So is this, I'm going to say, true AI advancement? Because autocomplete, when you're typing out an email, is using some form of artificial intelligence, right? And so when it, I'm wondering whether, you know, if they're saying AI, is this more of a kind of a marketing play? Like with 5G, everyone's talking about 5G before true 5G was really here, and it's kind of 4.5, 5G-ish. Is this actually a bit of a quantum leap, so to speak, in terms of these AI chips being placed in phones, or more of a kind of marketing tactic?
I think you can expect a lot of marketing to push AI, but for certain applications like on-device translation, which can happen, you know, without the cloud, you know, a lot of these micro transaction type things that can be handled by machine learning on these, you know, these are very powerful mobile devices. Mm-hmm. I think they can hack that.
And I think this is the reason, too, why a big year for generative AI also means a big year for chips, especially these on-device AI chips that need to function with such a high efficiency to allow for advanced AI to be possible on a consumer device.
Right. All right, Jacob, let's come to you. You're talking about how generative AI will make content less trustworthy and what that means. How does this play out in 2024?
Yeah, and I want to be clear here that the reason why this is an issue is because of how good generative AI is, not because of how bad it is. It functions really well. You can't tell the difference between often, you know, depending between an image that's AI generated and something that a human generated. And same thing with text, especially text, and then increasingly audio and video. And that's why we like it. That's why it results in productivity gains. If it wasn't that way, then you wouldn't have those benefits. And it's also why we can expect politicians themselves are going to be using generative AI in their campaigns and everything from, you know, speech writing to creating campaign materials to connecting with voters. So there's going to be positives there, right? But it's the very thing, it's its very strength. It's also its biggest weakness in that, well, then how would you distinguish? People obviously are going to want to know if they're consuming content that's, you know, human generated or AI generated, and whether or not it's the content is, you know, true and accurate or, you know, intentional misinformation. And so this is going to be a hot button issue for much of the year. And, you know, right now there's not a lot of momentum really to address it, but I think that we're going to see that increase.
Will we see that? Yeah. Will we see government start to mandate some kind of AI generated watermarks in 2024?
I think they're going to have to do something to address this problem. And so, and some tech companies are working on it too. You know, they're embedding data within the file of whatever the asset is that labels it as AI. There's also tools to detect whether something's AI generated after the fact. And then it's also just fact-checking, you know, whether or not something actually did happen that's depicted in a photo. Yeah, so there's going to be three things. We're going to see some regulation in some countries around this, mandating it. Tech companies, just for reputational issues, are going to have to make these tools and measures available. And then I think also, you know, in 2023, we saw a lot of tech industry layoffs. And a lot of that was around content moderation roles, including at social media companies. I think we're going to see some rehiring happen due to the, you know, upcoming elections on that front. Because, I mean, the misinformation problem, the content moderation problem, is going to be even more significant this year due to generative AI and due to the elections. And I think there's going to be need to be some human labor involved.
Yeah. All right. Very nice. Very nice. Yuri, we'll come to you to close out round two. Immersive media will take a qualitative leap. Talk to us about how you see this going in 2024.
Yeah, there are three big factors I think will drive this. The first is just Vision Pro, Apple's mixed reality headset that's coming out in February, just in a few weeks. It's super expensive, $3,500. It's not going to be a major consumer hit, but it is going to be a path-breaking device. It's going to do things that no other device has been able to do, and it's going to attract developers to the device and also to the platform, the Vision OS platform that Apple has. And anytime Apple enters a market, it changes that market. And I think that's going to have the same thing happen with mixed reality, augmented reality, and virtual reality, that the developers will dive into it and create some incredible applications that will spread to other platforms as well. Same time, you have Meta released Quest 3 just a few weeks ago or a couple months ago. that's a much more powerful mass market virtual reality headset.
Yeah,
so you got a lot more people using kind of mainstream virtual mixed reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a bunch of niche devices coming out as well that are based around AI. So you have Meta, the Ray-Ban Stories, the second generation of those that has Meta AI built into it. It's a really interesting take on smart glasses in that it provides the interactivity through audio. It has a camera in it. You can take pictures, but it has essentially a conversational response. You can talk to it. You can refine your questions back and forth. Really interesting way to sort of interact with immersive media.
Right.
And finally, artificial intelligence is also going to make the generation of 3D images and worlds and things like that much easier to do. So I think the actual programming, which has been extremely intensive around a lot of this stuff, will be easier and much more accessible. And that should also superpower development of AR and VR and mixed reality. So all of those things, I think, should contribute.
Two quick questions for me. One, you said that the Apple Vision Pro device, you're expecting it to do what others can't. What are we thinking there?
Well, just, I mean, its rendering is better. It has better cameras, better sensors in there. It also, I think, has a very quick reaction time, has almost no latency.
Okay.
But I think most importantly is the developer platform. It just sort of is integrated in it with an elegance to, the Apple has done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the applications that will be in it will be a lot more intuitive to use and a lot more accessible for users.
And then final question from me is talking about immersive media and AI devices, AI, VR, AR devices. The AI pin, do you think it has a bit of a messaging issue? Jason Aiton of Inc. was pointing out that the ads for the AI pin is basically something that sits on your shirt and you can pin it to yourself, and it's an AI device that the value proposition was supposed to be that you don't need a smartphone. You can just talk to this thing and it can respond to any command. But Jason Aiton of Inc. was saying you could just use an Apple Watch, and that Humane is selling people on the idea that it's basically made a smartphone without a screen and a better version of Siri. Do you think that the AI pin is going to kind of fall flat on its face, or do you see it having legs later down the road?
I mean, I think it's a fair criticism. I think the actual pin itself is a gateway to an AI interface, which you can have with your smartphone. So in that way, that criticism is accurate. It has some really cool features, that the laser projection onto your palm, so you can actually see projected words or information onto your palm. It's really cool. I don't see it being a big hit, but you have Humane's AI pin, and you also have OpenAI reportedly developing its own version of some sort of wearable or personal AI device that also is going to be distinct from a smartphone. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think the AI pin is almost an iterative step here. I think the goal that companies want to get to is have like an ambient AI companion that you don't need to like log into something or take out a device to use. It's just with you all the time, and you can talk to it. And what form that takes, I don't think has been nailed down yet, but I think it's the ultimate goal.
Okay. All right, gents, that's it for round two. We move to round three, the show-stopping argument. Our chefs will pull out their best closing arguments as to why their trend is most likely to happen. Why, Garjo, do you think that your take about on-device AI features boosting flagging PC and smartphone sales is the best take today?
I think it's just the timing. For a lot of these industries, they've sort of had multiple years of losses. And so they're really banking big on AI features, on-device AI features to sort of push the needle. It may not take off, this year, but it's definitely a huge start for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way we saw AI adoption in the past year, we're likely going to see it spread out into products and devices more rapidly in 2024.
Jacob, Gen AI will make content less trustworthy.
Yeah, I think unfortunately it's going to be an inevitable problem. And the reason for that is that if the pace of generative AI is advancing against, just like we saw last year, this year is going to continue advancing very quickly, outpacing steps by regulators and then the steps by tech companies to implement safeguards, basically outpacing the ability for societies to react to it during a time when we have a critical political environment.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Yuri, immersive media taking a qualitative leap.
Well, you have the big tech powerhouses, many of them entering with powerful new devices, whether it's Vision Pro from Apple or Meta's Ray-Ban Stories and Quest 3, and OpenAI's possible AI device as well. It does have a lot of innovation coming from some really powerful actors.
Yeah. Very nice, gents. That's it for the great Behind the Numbers takeoff for Tech Trends 2024. We crown a winner, and today we will crown Jacob. Jacob's argument, I think, was just edge the other two out. All really good arguments, but Jacob's, I feel like yours is going to build and build and build throughout the year and kind of crescendo at the end of the year with the US election. So I do see that having maybe a greater impact just because, and maybe there's some headlines bias in there. I think it's going to be covered quite a lot. But awesome, fantastic takes there, gents. For more Tech Trends of the Year, you can read Yuri's full report called Tech Trends to Watch in 2024. Major changes in store for search, connected cars, and immersive media. Links in the show notes, or you can head to insiderintelligence.com to read the full report there as well. That is all we have time for this episode. Thank you so much to my guests. Thank you to Yuri.
Always glad to be here.
Thank you to Gaja.
Thanks. This was fun.
And thank you to Jacob.
Thanks so much. Pleasure to be here.
Today's Behind the Numbers Takeoff Champion. Thank you to Victoria, who edits the show, James, Stuart, and Sophie, who helped make the podcast possible. And thanks to everyone for listening in. We hope to see you tomorrow for the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast.